out for yourself, my lad. You've all that the greatest of men have had. Two arms, two hands, two legs, two eyes, and a brain to use if you would be wise. With this equipment, they all began to start for the top and say, I can. Look them over, the wise and great, they take their food from a common plate, and similar knives and forks they use, with similar laces they tie their shoes. The world considers them brave and smart, but you've all they had when they made their start. You can triumph and come to skill. You can be great if you only will. You're well equipped for what fight you choose. You have legs and arms and a brain to use. And the man who has risen great deeds to do began his life with no more than you. You are the handicap that you must face. You are the one who must choose your place. You must say where you want to go, how much you will study the truth to know. God has equipped you for life, but he lets you decide what you want to be. Courage must come from the soul within. The man must furnish the will to win. So figure it out for yourself, my lad. You were born with all that the great have had. With your equipment, they all began. Get a hold of yourself and say, I can.
Isn't she pretty? Thank you, Courtney. Will you turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25? We're going to continue our parables series that we began last week. Matthew chapter 25, and we're going to start reading in verse 14 in just a moment. Parables were an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And Jesus used them all the time to share what he was trying to teach the disciples and other people as well. Many rabbis used that form of teaching, so Jesus was no different. But as we break into this one today, the parable of the talents, let me give you a rundown of who is who. Because, once again, I've been studying this all week, but maybe you haven't read this in a long time. Maybe this is your first time to read this story. So I want to let you know who we're talking about today. The master in the story is Jesus. The servants in the story, that's us. And then there's some talents. That's really all that's involved. The master, some servants, and some talents. Talents in the story were signifying a large sum of money. We think of talents as abilities. And we're going to talk about that today. But in the story, it's talking about a large sum of money. But really, what we're talking about today when we say talents, it's whatever God has entrusted to you. So as we're reading the story, at least you know where we're starting. Let's begin reading in Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. It says, again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more bags. 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers. so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you. Lord, first of all, for this morning, as we remember what you did for each one of us. God, even though we weren't worthy, we were on your mind when you died for each one of us. And Lord, as we look into this story today, may we understand that you have entrusted things to us. And it's up to us what we do with that. And help us to walk away changed today, challenged today, to do what you've called us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before we take a look too far into this parable, I want to give you the context of the parable. So to understand why Jesus is telling this story, you have to go back to Matthew chapter 24, verse 3. You don't have to turn there. You can stay in 25, but I'll throw it on the screen for you. It says, as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately and said, tell us, when will this happen and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Jesus has already been sharing with them and preparing them for what's going to happen. And they have these two questions. When is it going to happen? And what are the signs that we should be looking for? Well, you know, Jesus, he never answered in a simple way, in a easy to understand way. He would answer with parables. So he began in chapter 24. If you've got the red letter Bible, you're going to see lots of red lettering from here all the way through 24 and all of 25, because Jesus is teaching the disciples. And so at the beginning of chapter 25, he tells a parable of 10 virgins. Excuse me. They were waiting for the bridegroom, and there's these 10 virgins, 5 of which were wise and 5 were foolish. And the 5 foolish didn't bring enough oil while they were waiting for the bridegroom to return. So they asked the 5 wise, hey, can we have some of your oil so we don't have to leave? But the 5 wise says, no, we don't want to give any away because we don't want to miss it. So while the 5 foolish went away to get their oil, they missed the bridegroom. Jesus is telling this story so that we would understand we want to be ready, because we do not know when he's going to return, but we want to be ready when he does. Amen? So at the end of that story, of that parable of the 10 virgins, look at verse 13 of chapter 25. He connects these two parables. He's just finished the parable of the 10 virgins, and he says, therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour when the Son of Man is coming. Then he launches into this parable that we're going to study today, the parable of the talents. So he's answering the disciples in the questions that they asked in chapter 24. And he begins with, again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and trusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5, to one he gave 2, to one he gave 1, each according to their ability, and then he went on his journey. Really, what Jesus is doing here, if you think about this story, we're living this out right now. We're living this parable. How many of you know Jesus died on a cross? We just remembered that just a few moments ago. How many of you know the good news is he rose 3 days later? Amen. And how many of you know he's coming back again? So if we understand that in the story, Jesus is the master. We are the servants. Jesus has gone away, but we know he's coming back. And the question today, if I leave you with anything, ask yourself this question. What am I doing with what God has entrusted to me until Christ returns? What am I doing with the talents that have been entrusted to me until Christ returns? In the story, he didn't give them more than they could handle. It says he gave them each according to his own ability. So what God has given you, he's given you exactly what you need to use to be the person he's called you to be. He didn't give you more than you can handle. He didn't give the guy with 1, 5. because he couldn't handle five. He gave each according to his own ability. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says, as each has received a gift, use it. As each has received, we each one in this room have gifts. Thankfully, none are the same. We all are different. But each of us have received gifts. Use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Now, I love the Message version of this. If you look at 1 Peter 4:10 in the Message, I'm going to throw it up. Be generous with the different things God has gave you. Passing them around so all get in on it. Church, how many of you love coming here and having church? We need to get more people in on it. There are people outside this church not going anywhere. We don't need other church people. We need other people who maybe don't understand the blessings we receive by being in this building. And by serving God on a daily basis, it's not just about the building. We know that. But if we don't get them here, they'll never understand the blessings that come. We need to get others in on it. When you go to a party and you're having a good time, you want to get other people in on it. Anything you're doing that's good, if you find a good restaurant, you want to get other people in on it. Church, it's time to get other people involved. And how do we do that? By using the gifts that God has entrusted to us and sharing them and multiplying. Many people, when it comes to this story, get caught up in the number of talents. And I believe the heart of this parable comes down to what the master has given you. Because if you look at the reward of the first two servants, they received the same reward. Even though they had different responsibilities, different amounts of money, the reward was based on faithfulness, not on the size of the responsibility. So many of us think, well, my gifts are nothing great. I don't have anything like that guy. And we get caught up on what they have and what we don't. Last week, we talked about the parable of the sower. Short, brief recap here of what we talked about last week. Jesus was the farmer. He's sowing seed. He sows it generously because he wants to get a good harvest. He wants to harvest as much as he can. So he's sowing generously. Some lands on the path. But it talks about how the path is hard. It cannot receive the seed. So the birds come along and take it away. Other seed lands on rocky soil. And it can at least germinate the seed, but there's no depth, so there's no root. So when the sun comes up, it scorches the seed, and it shrivels up and dies. Finally, there was a seed that grew amongst the weeds, but when the weeds took off, they choked out the seed. And it died. But then we got to the good soil. But what did it say about the good soil? It said, where it produced a crop, chapter 13, verse 8 and 9, it says, produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. They were not the same. It's okay if you're only producing 30 as long as you're producing. But some of us can produce 100. And we get caught up on the number. Why do I only have one? I think I should have two. Why do I only have two? I should be a guy that has five. Look at that guy. He got five. When we begin to compare, we begin to complain. I'll say that again. When we begin to compare, we begin to complain. The two go hand in hand. Look at what he got. Why didn't I get that? If I become distracted by the amount of talents I receive or don't receive, then jealousy is born. And when there's jealousy, I can't even enjoy my two talents because all I can focus on is his five. Creativity is squelched or taken away by jealousy. But when we realize what we have and we invest in what we have and develop what God has given us, then we begin to see multiply. Think about how much time can be wasted trying to catch someone with five when we only have our two. And we're not focused on our two. We're not investing our two. We just want to catch the guy with five. But if we focus on our two and invest, that's why 2 Corinthians, Paul says this in chapter 10, verse 12. It says, we do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. Paul had some critics here. And they were trying to knock him. And they were commending themselves on what they had done. And they begin to compare against one another. And Paul's telling us that is not wise. Jesus has given each of us an opportunity. That's what the talent is. Out of the three, two of them saw it as an opportunity to multiply. One saw it as a problem. And the question I would ask is, are you using your talents to gain or to give? Are you so loyal to using what God has given you for building people or competing with people to say, look what I have? I don't think I'm wrong here. I'm not too naive to think that we could be a place, a church, so genuine and so authentic, not just coming here to not hear a nice speech and say, well, that was nice, let's go eat some chili. But to come in here celebrating the gifts God has given us. Each one of us saying, I want to use my talents, the abilities that God has given me to bless you. To use what God has given me to bless others outside this room. This place wouldn't be so amazing if it weren't for a lot of people who are using what God has given. The talents and the abilities that are being used in Sunday school. The talents and the abilities used in the children's area. And on the worship team. I was telling the team this morning that I woke up at 4:40 in the morning and realized I had not set my alarm. And that would be bad because I have a routine I go through before I ever even get here. To make sure I'm ready to go. And I would have missed all of that had I not set my alarm. But when I got up, I woke up, I looked over to my clock, and I'm like, I didn't even set my alarm. I told him I think God woke me up to say, you better set your alarm so you make sure you're up on time. But I told them also, thank you that I don't have to call you and wake you up. I know every week, if they're not going to be here, they're going to either let me know or there's something major going on. They just show up. I don't have to concern myself with, do I have a drummer today? Do I have a piano player today? And the amount of years they have put in to doing this, not for pay, but because God gave them a talent and they're using it to multiply. They're using it because they offer you guys such incredible music, do they not? And I'm not talking about myself here, so I can give them praise. Come on. I may be only a two-talent kind of guy, but Master, I thank you for my two because I realized even the two that I have were not mine. You gave them to me. Do you understand that? Everything you've been blessed with, God gave you. So you don't need to go around bragging about it because it wasn't yours to begin with. He blessed you with it. And I thank you for the two that I have and I will use them to bless others. To each, He gave an opportunity. It was up to them to decide what they were going to do with it. He didn't hand them out according to rank or favoritism. He gave them according to their ability. So the master had thought this through. Think about this. He had been watching the servants to know who could handle five, to know who could handle two, and who could handle one. He knew exactly what he wanted to do there. He had thought it through, just as God has thought it through. He knew you when you were in your mother's womb, and He knew exactly what you needed to do for Him and what you needed to make that happen. So how you handle what God has given you now could make a big difference in what He's going to give you later. Right? But look at Mr. One Talent. He couldn't do it. He said, the man who had received one bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you're a hard man, harvesting where you had not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. Rather than feeling gifted, rather than feeling blessed by what the master had given him, just because it was one talent didn't mean this wasn't much. If you were to do some research on what a talent was, that was no small sum of money that he had received. So it wasn't like he was just like, well, I only got one talent. But he became the victim of the circumstances. He had a victim mentality because he's blaming the master. He says, because you're a hard man, I was afraid, so I went and hid the talent. I've been reading a book that my brother told me about, and it's called Remarkable. It's a good read. It's Creating Value in People. But in that book, they talk about victims. And I want to read to you, right from that book, what they talk about when they mention a victim mentality. Victims view problems as personal persecution rather than impersonal challenges to overcome. They're often angry, usually annoyed, and almost always complaining about having been taken advantage of by someone. Victims see problems in every opportunity. That's our Mr. One Talent. Where the other two saw it as an opportunity to multiply, he saw it as a problem that he had to babysit this amount of money. So I don't know what to do with it. I don't want to lose it, so let me bury it so I make sure I have it when he returns. They look for and attract others who feel they've been treated unjustly. Victims are self-destructive. And the saddest part is they often seem to enjoy playing the role of the victim. That's probably because they can evoke sympathy from others by recounting their sad stories. That is, until they begin to drain the lifeblood out of everyone around them and their emotional black holes, sucking the positive energy out of everything and everyone they touch. So we can look to other people and say, well, if I'd only had what they had, I could have multiplied. But God has entrusted each one of us according to our abilities. The question is, what are you going to do until Christ returns? The man buried his talent. He had a survivalist mentality. Surviving means we just think that's success. As long as I just keep what I've got, I'm being successful. While other people are out multiplying, we're just thinking, I just got to hold on to what I got. And as long as I'm doing that, I'm doing something. He buried the one thing he could have been using. Think about this. Catch this really here, right? This is important right here. The man buried the talent the master given him, which exposed his fear. He even admitted to it. He said, I was afraid, so I buried it. What he should have done was bury the fear and expose the talent. Are you with me? He should have buried the fear and exposed the talent, and then he would have began to multiply. So what's holding you back? What's the fear in your life that's keeping you from stepping out and using what God has given you? Don't let fear cause you to bury it. Bury the fear and expose the talent. All three men had the same opportunity. They all knew the master the same. He didn't say, when I come back, I want you to all have 10 talents, no matter what I gave you. He just entrusted to them what was based on their ability. They were all exposed to the same information, but processed it differently. Two saw it as an opportunity, and one saw it as fear. How can people view the same thing so differently? To be motivated by fear where others are motivated to multiply. You don't see Mr. Five Talent walking around. Look at all my talents. Like Jeremy Sisson sometimes does. Look at my drum talent. He doesn't. I'm teasing. We were talking about this in practice, so I had to say that. He was gone the last time we picked on him, so I had to do it again. But no, he didn't walk around bragging about it. Look at what it says in verse 16 of 25. The man who received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. He was busy making more out of what the master had left him. Jesus is telling us this. With responsibility comes accountability. We don't like that word. Nobody likes that word, but even Christians. We try to avoid the idea that we might be held accountable to something. But God has entrusted something to you, and the question is, what are you going to do with it? Some of you are already using it. I'm not talking to everybody in the room. Some of us are going strong every day. We're just saying, God, help me to use what you've given me to multiply. But I want to encourage some of you to dig it up out of the ground and quit holding on to it, quit babysitting it, and take hold of it and use it. Use it to multiply. Even if you're the one talent kind of person, it's okay. Before long, you'll find yourself with five. The wicked servant was lazy and unfaithful because he really had feared his master. But for others, it was an opportunity to multiply. I love that. And here's the exciting part of this story. The cool part is this is another part I don't want you to miss. When we're about our Father's business, when we're doing what we can with what we've been given, when we see increase, look at what is promised us. In verse 20 of chapter 25, the man who received five bags of gold brought the other five. Master, he said, you entrusted me with five bags of gold. See, I have gained five more. And his master replied with this, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. But here's the line I want you to catch. Come and share your master's happiness. We get to share in the reward. That is our reward. As servants of Christ, we understand we get to share in the reward. Not because we went to 10 talents. Because the same guy who had 2 talents and made 4 had the same reward. He said, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many. Come and share in your master's happiness. How many of you want to be invited to share in the master's happiness? Can you say amen to that? But it's up to us to use the talents that we have been given, that God has entrusted unto us until Christ's return. So once again, I ask, what are you doing with those talents? Let's bow our heads. Lord, thank you that you gave each one of us different talents. We're not all the same. We don't all have the same amount. But each one of us are blessed. May we walk away understanding we are blessed. While you're sitting there right now, will you just say, I'm blessed? Take a moment to think of how God has blessed you. I'm blessed. I'm blessed beyond what I deserve, but I'm blessed. With your heads bowed right now. Can I ask, if you're in this room and you've never accepted Jesus into your heart, you don't know that feeling of being blessed, I want to give you that opportunity right now, in this moment, to ask Jesus Christ into your heart. So if that's you, I'm just going to ask you to lift your hand. Anybody in the room, and we can pray together. Okay. So now I have some encouragement, some challenge for each one of us. Because I believe that we are here because we serve Jesus Christ. We are here for a reason. God has placed each one of us on this earth for a reason. So Lord, right now I pray that you would begin to just put increase into each person. God, in their heart and their life, they would be challenged to want to do more than they've ever done before for you. God, they would recognize the ability. There may be some abilities that have been buried for years, and I pray that they would begin to rise up. And they would see these talents that you have entrusted into them. And they would begin to use them for your glory. God, we're believing for increase. believing and want to see that in this place. As people begin to come from the community who have been blessed by those in this room, by the talents that you've placed in their heart. We're believing for that today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Courtney read this at the beginning, and I want to read it to you again. Many times, it's very easy for us to look at others and say, well, they do that because they've been blessed with so much. But we all start out the same. Figure it out for yourself, my lad. You've all that the greatest of men have had. Two arms, two hands, two legs, two eyes. And a brain to use if you would be wise. With this equipment, they all began. So start for this top and say, I can. Look them over, the wise and the great. They take their food from a common plate. And similar knives and forks they use with similar laces. They tie their shoes. The world considers them brave and smart. But you've all they had when they made their start. You can triumph and come to skill. You can be great if you only will. You are equipped for what fight you choose. You have legs and arms and a brain to use. And the men who have risen, great deeds to do, began their life with no more than you. You are the handicap you must face. You are the one who must choose your place. You must say where you want to go, how much you will study, the truth to know. God has equipped you for life, but He let you decide what you want to be. Courage must come from the soul within. The man must furnish the will to win. So figure it out for yourself, my lad. You were born with all the great have had. With your equipment, they all began. Get hold of yourself and say, I can. Amen. Amen. Thank you for being here today. I'm encouraged. I'm believing that I'm going to see increase in your lives. I'm believing I'm going to see great things come from each and every one of you. I'm not crazy to believe that. I believe it because I serve a God who's able to do that. Can you say amen? And I'm excited that we're going to walk out of here and go have some fun and eat some chili. But before we do, we need to take an offering. We haven't done that yet. I saved it for the end, for this purpose. I want you to think about what God has blessed you with. And the Bible says, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. But the Bible also encourages us that what God has given us, we are to give back a portion of that to Him. So Lord, as we receive the offering today, God, may we give from our hearts. May we give with joy, with gladness. And may you take it and use it, God, to further your kingdom, to bring new souls into the kingdom, to see lost souls saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Ushers, you can come forward. But thank you again for being here. I was looking at the calendar this week, and 6 months ago, Courtney and I began as pastors of Cornerstone Church. And I got to tell you, it's been a blast. Thank you. It is an honor to serve you. I want you to know that. I love each and every one of you. I'm loving getting to know you more. And I can't wait to get to know you even better over time. But thank you so much for being here and for supporting us in what we're trying to do. May you bless the rest of the day and the rest of the week. And may we go, Lord, using what you've gifted us with and see increase. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.